My dearly beloved in Christ, today begins the final fortnight of Lent, referred to as Passiontide. And we are always struck every year when we come into church on Passion Sunday to see the statues covered with violet veils. And not only do we cover the statues, but even the crucifix over the altar. And that might seem, at first glance, to be strange, because this is Passiontide, when we should think about the passion and death of our Lord. Of course, we do not cover the beautiful stations of the cross, and we encourage you to make the way of the cross. But we cover the crucifix over the altar, because the crucifix is actually a symbol of joy, because it reminds us of our Lord's victory over death and sin and of our redemption. So this covering of the statues and the crucifix during Passiontide reminds us of the event in today's gospel when our Lord was rejected by the chosen people, in particular by the leaders. And they asked him, "Art thou older than our father Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Before Abraham came to be, I am." Now, these words are very interesting because our Lord didn't say, "Before Abraham came to exist, I was," but he said, "I am." And it's interesting because that is the terminology God used when he spoke to Moses from the burning bush. He said, "I am who am," because God is eternally present. There's no past or future with God. He just is. God is perfect. He never changes. He always was. He always will be. And the Jewish leaders understood that our Lord was claiming to be what he truly is, divine. "Before Abraham came to be, I am." And so they said, "This is blasphemy." And they took up stones to stone our Lord. But his time had not yet come to lay down his life. As our Lord said on another occasion, "No one takes my life away from me, but I lay it down when I will." And so because his hour had not yet come, our Lord, we read in the gospel, went out from the temple. He hid himself from the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people. And that we are reminded of with the veiling of the statues and the crucifix. How our Lord hid himself from them because of their rejection of him. But I would like to apply it in another way. Sometimes our Lord even hides himself from us, in the sense that we experience in our prayer life what spiritual masters refer to as dryness, spiritual dryness. Sometimes we pray, we go to Holy Communion, and we experience joy. We experience consolation. We experience a sweetness which spurs us on in the practice of our faith. And there are other times when we pray and we experience no sensible comfort. What do we do then? Do we give up our prayers? Do we cease to pray? As one saint put it so well, we must seek the God of consolations, not the consolations of God. We don't serve God because he gives us spiritual comfort and joy, although sometimes he does do that. But we serve him because he deserves to be served and because we love him, because he is God. So all of the saints experienced in different ways this trial of spiritual dryness. And by that again, we mean that when we pray, there's no sensible feeling or comfort or consolation. And at those times, we have to serve God by faith, not by feeling. One saint said this, and I think this is a great lesson. He said, "One time to say, 'Blessed be God,' when we have no feeling in our prayer life is of greater value than to say, blessed be God 100 times, when it's easy to do so. But when we have that spiritual dryness or desolation, interior darkness, and we still say, blessed be God, and we still love and serve God, then we are really pleasing Him. Then we are gaining merit. Then we are really proving our love for God. And you know, our Lord, who wanted to go through His passion to prove His love for us, so that we could never say when we suffer, dear God, You never suffered. Our Lord wanted to make sure that we could look to Him and realize that He experienced all the different trials we experience, and in a much greater degree was His suffering. But He also experienced this interior trial. And in two places in particular, we see this in His passion. First, at the beginning of His passion, as our Lord entered the Garden of Olives, what did He say to His apostles? He said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death, indicating that this trial was an interior trial. It was a spiritual desolation. And He prayed to His Heavenly Father 3 hours of agony. And He prayed to His Father, Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. And that is a wonderful prayer that we can pray when we're going through something that's a trial and we pray to God to take it away. We say, dear God, if this be thy will, please remove this cross, this trial, but not my will, but thine be done. And our Lord experienced such an agony that His sweat became as drops of blood running down onto the ground. How did He and why did He experience this agony? It was because He realized the different sufferings of His passion. They were brought sensibly before Him. He realized how terrible His passion was going to be and all the sufferings, and His human nature cringed at the thought of these sufferings. And also, in His agony, our Lord appeared before His Heavenly Father as though He Himself were guilty of all the sins of mankind. He saw all the sins of the world from the past, from the time of Adam up until then, and all the sins that would be committed until the end of time. And He appeared before His Father burdened with these sins which He was about to expiate by His death on the cross. And He also realized that there would be souls for whom He would shed His blood who would still reject God's love for them, and they would end up being lost, and for them His blood would be shed in vain. And so you see, all of these thoughts brought this great trial, this desolation, this interior trial to our Lord. And sometimes we go through our interior mental spiritual trials, and we can look to our Lord who suffered far more. And another instance in His passion I would like to point out is when our Lord was hanging on the cross for 3 hours, and during that time He spoke 7 times. The first word, forgive them, Father, for they know not what to do. And then to the good thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Then His third word to His mother, behold thy son, and to Saint John, behold thy mother. But the fourth word of our Lord on the cross is one that really strikes us, because He cried out in a loud voice, and He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, our Lord obviously did not despair. This was not to indicate that He lost hope and trust in God. In fact, even when He died, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But our Lord wanted to show us that He was not just suffering in His body physically, but He suffered an interior agony, an interior desolation. And of course, our Lord spoke those words to fulfill prophecy. Because in the 21st Psalm, King David had written those very words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And our Lord was showing us that he was fulfilling all the prophecies that had been written. But he did experience that interior trial. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is something that all the saints experienced. In fact, I recall reading about the little flower, Saint Teresa, that towards the end of her life, she experienced no comfort at all in praying. And yet she prayed anyway, and as we would say, she lived by faith, not by feeling. She continued to pray for the love of God. And that is what we must do. We must have a strong faith because we all go through ups and downs in our spiritual lives. Sometimes we feel all fired up, wanting to serve God, ready to take on anything that comes our way. And then a little while later, we feel discouraged. We feel no comfort in prayer. We feel that interior trial. Let us be careful never to give up during those times, but to persevere, knowing that we are thereby proving even more so our love of God when we continue to serve him, not for feeling, but by faith, because he deserves it. We must also remember that after the storm, the sun shines again. After the trial, there will be joy, there will be a comfort, just as with our Lord. After his crucifixion, there was the resurrection. And imagine the joy of the disciples when they beheld our Lord after he had risen from the dead. They had thought all was lost, but all is not lost. So let us persevere in loving and serving God, even if our Lord, so to speak, hides himself from us for a little while. Let us continue to seek him. Let us continue to serve him. Let us continue to love him all the more, knowing that he will be greatly pleased with those efforts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.